You ought to be thankful that you're in a church that is led by a Holy Ghost pastor. I'm not saying be glorify me, but what I'm saying is when you have a church that's led by a Holy Ghost pastor, that means he's open to the Holy Ghost. And this is what the Spirit of God said during worship. That there are people here this morning. There might be people here facing tests and trials, no doubt. That's life. But this is the words he used, and whoever this is for and whoever it applies to, you're going to know how good God is and that today is your day of help. But he said that there are people that aren't just going through tests and trials here, but the word he used, that people that needed rescued. Amen. Amen. You need rescued in life. Amen. I don't know who that's for, how many people that's for, but that's what he said. And today is your life preserver. Amen. Amen. It is. Today is your help. And, you know, you might not want to be here, not care about it, not think to yourself, oh, yeah. This is your help this morning. It's all our help, but there are people here that need rescued in life, and it'll bless them, so praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to pray and believe God for utterance. Hallelujah. Father, help us this morning. Lord, I remember being in positions in my life where I didn't just need help, where I didn't just need a hand, where I didn't just need a little nudge or a bump in the right direction. I need rescue. And you came through, Father. And it always came through the help of the Word of God. And so, Father, even if we're here this morning and we don't necessarily need rescued, but we need help, we need encourage, we need a nudge, we need that bump in the road, we need a fire lit under us, whatever it is, it'll pertain to us. But Father, rescue people this morning. Help them to see, Father, that this is their answer, that this is their help. So, Father, we'll give you the praise and glory because, Father, I wouldn't know how to do that for people's lives. I don't have a natural, much of a natural education. I'm not the most eloquent of speakers. I didn't grow up the most naturally and just intelligent person, Father, so I need your help. That's what I'm trying to say. So, Lord, I thank you that this isn't about me anyway, so you're going to show up this morning. And, Father, you said you take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise anyways. And if there's anything that would be, Father, labeled as foolish, it would be me and my life and where I've come from. And so, Father, I thank you. You use donkeys. You use foolish people. You're going to use me this morning. And it's going to be a rescue and a help to people. And it's going to walk out of here changed and blessed because we don't play church around here. We come to get help, to get changed, and to walk out of here different. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning that we have to share and minister your word. And Lord, we thank you. It's a help and a rescue and a blessing to many. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to piggyback on what I preached on last week, but it wasn't enough last week. It needed to be emphasized more. So I will do a review that will kind of mix in with where we're going here today. But God's trying to emphasize something to the church. And it started really when Pastor Michael, things were stirred up in my spirit when he had the Mayville meetings a couple weeks back, you know, I think they were November, and he had a two-night meeting there and said some things that stirred me up and just been seeking God on and realizing it's a necessity for Olean and for South Dayton and the works that I'm a part of. So God's trying to emphasize, trying to help us. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, I want to do a review here. It says, and being assembled together with them. Now you need to understand who the them is in this verse. This is after Jesus has died and rose again. And the Bible says he showed himself alive for 40 days and with many infallible proofs. And so he's died and rose again. Now how do you get born again? Well, you don't get born again by going to church. You don't get born again by being a good person. The Bible says that if a man will confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. Well, you can't get born again prior to Jesus dying and being raised from the dead because those are the guidelines. Well, he's died and rose again in Acts chapter 1. It says when he's assembled together with them, he's died, rose again. He's appeared to them now, the disciples and other people. And so they've seen him. They had to get born again just as much as we have to get born again. And so they're saved now. So when it says them, we're talking to born again Christians. It says he commanded them. Notice he didn't suggest it or say, hey, this would be a good idea or, you know, just an idea that you might want to do this. No, he used strong language with them, didn't he? He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you've heard of me. So he's talking to people who are heaven bound. They've escaped the kingdom of darkness in the sense spiritually. They're not going to hell anymore. They died there. They're going to heaven. Why? They've accepted Jesus. They're born again. They're Christians. The most important thing we can receive is Jesus. Amen? Amen? But he tells these born again Christians, don't go anywhere yet. And in fact, I'm going to make it so strong of language, I'm going to command you, don't go anywhere yet. He commands them to not go, wait for the promise which you've heard of me. Now he's going to tell us in verse 5 what that promise was. For John truly baptized with water. What is baptism in the Bible? We talked about this a little bit last week. I got onto a soapbox last week about baptism. But it wasn't about baptism, it was about the next thing that someone was going to encounter in the Word that they disagreed with. And if they get offended over the baptism, they're certainly not going to be able to swallow the next thing that God's going to try to help them with. But biblical baptisms are not for babies. They're not sprinkling of water. Biblical baptisms are when people are born again of an adult age, of an age of knowing, where they decide to make a public confession, where they're out of the water one way, they go in the water, which symbolizes being washed and coming up out of it. Now, if you've been baby baptized and you do that with your baby and that's where you came from, I'm not against you. I'm not saying you're wrong, like bad and wrong of a person. I'm just saying it's not how the Bible does it. Amen? And that's why I do baby dedications, you know, and because I can't find it in the Word anywhere. But we do find that in the Word. So why I bring that up is not to harp on baptism, but to tell you what a baptism is. It's a full immersion from head to toe. So he says, John baptized with water, and that's what Jesus went out from the Jordan, under the water, and came up away, right? But you, the born-again Christian who's heaven-bound, shall be baptized or immersed with the Holy Ghost not many days hence or not many days from now. So what he's saying is that you're born again, you're Christians, but you can't leave until you get this immersion of the Holy Ghost. Well, don't let the Holy Ghost trip you up. All the Holy Ghost is an extension of God. The Bible says the Holy Ghost, the Father, and the Son, they're the same. So when it says baptized with the Holy Ghost, all it's saying is being baptized with God or being immersed with God. He's saying to them, yeah, you're born again and you're Christians, but you can't leave till you get immersed or baptized with God. Well, in verse 8, he tells us why that would be. But you shall receive power. That word power in the Greek is where we get our word dynamite or the word dunamis. Means dynamite, miracle-working, supernatural power. The Bible says to God, Jesus said to the disciples, don't leave until you get this dynamite, supernatural, miracle-working power. Amen. Well, that shouldn't be a surprise to us because God is a supernatural, dynamite, miracle-working God. And it said that you'll be immersed with Him. Well, what is He? A dynamite, supernatural, miracle-working God. So it says if you'll get baptized or immersed in God, you'll receive power. Dynamite, supernatural, miracle-working power for your life. Hallelujah. He says after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now notice this. He's telling Christians, I know you're saved. I know you're born again. I know you're going to heaven, but that's all well and good. We gave you heaven and gave you eternity and not having to perish. That's for that life. But for this life, I'm giving you something to navigate this world. And I'm not going to leave you powerless. In fact, I'm going to give you a supernatural, dynamite-working, miracle-working power to go through this life. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So he said, if you don't wait in Jerusalem and you don't wait for the Holy Ghost to come upon you, you're going to walk out there in a world without dynamite, supernatural, miracle working power. And ladies and gentlemen, we saw last week that's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because of the environment we live in. God never expected you or intended for you to navigate the environment, which I'll explain in a second, that you live in without supernatural power. The environment that you live in, let me just tell you, not to bring bad news to the situation, but it's just the truth, is a world, the Bible says, that is run by Satan, whose schemes are to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says Satan's the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Well, just watch the news for 5 minutes and you'll see it's true. Amen. The world's in chaos and the world's a mess. A lot of stealing, a lot of killing, a lot of destruction going on. A lot of the devil going on. And so the Bible says that's what the devil's goal is. The Bible says we're in that world. Well, that's not a very good environment to be in. But not only that, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that you have an adversary or an opponent or an enemy. The devil who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that he's launching fiery darts at you. So let me tell you the wonderful, beautiful environment that you live in. One run by the devil who's got a target on you, who's out after you like a lion and launching darts at you. But he's not natural. The devil's not natural. He's spiritual. The devil is supernatural. You can't navigate correctly and rightly and victoriously in a world run by the devil with a target on your back of fiery darts and lion bait. Did you know your lion bait? Yeah. You can't navigate that correctly and victoriously on natural power alone. He'll eat your lunch. Why? Natural power is less than supernatural power. And the devil's a supernatural being. So God says, I don't want to leave my precious children who are now born again and in my family. I don't want to leave them in this kind of world. And ladies and gentlemen, we told you this. We brought up this point. You can't afford... Well, I'll say it this way. There's certain things in life you have to do. Right? You have to do it. And we use natural examples to illustrate spiritual truths because Jesus did it all the time. I have to go to the grocery store. I have to drive to the grocery store. I have to get ready in the morning, you know. I have to take a shower and stand in front of the mirror and put that nice cream in my hair and make my colics go the right way. I got to do that for y'all, you know. I didn't wake up this pretty this morning. It didn't happen automatically. And you didn't either. You got prettied up before you came. You have to drive to work. You have to do your laundry. You have to make your food. There's just certain things in life you have to do. But we pointed out in life the things that you have to do become a lot more difficult, a lot less convenient, and take a lot longer to do if you cut the power. How do I know? Well, I have some dear friends of mine that are in the Amish community, and when they go to the store, they don't take their pickup. They have a little less horsepower than I do. They have horsepower. They have less horsepower. I'm not belittling them. And I'm not condemning them for their lifestyle. I'm just saying it's different. You know, pointing out things that are different doesn't mean you're against it. A lot of the world would like you to believe that. Well, no, that doesn't mean you're against it. You know, when they do their laundry, even though our clothes are just as dirty, it is not as convenient for them to do their laundry. Simply why? Lack of power. When they go to the store, lack of power. When they do, at nighttime around the Amish homes, I know I've been there, I spent the night in them. It was a desire of my heart. For a long time, I mean, what a weirdo pastor you have. I mean, I had a desire to get a backstage pass to the Amish community, and God gave it to me. And I got to spend the night in their homes and see things and just what's awesome. But I know this, life's different around their house. Takes longer for them to do things. Things aren't as convenient. Things are more difficult. Things take longer without power. Well, we can illustrate that truth spiritually too. There are things you have to do in life. You have to do them. What do you have to do spiritually? Now, you don't have to do them in the sense if you don't want to be victorious or you don't care. But if you want to walk in God's highest and best and walk victoriously, you can't not be in faith. It's the only way you receive. The only way you please God is by faith. You can't not be in faith. You can't not walk in love. Why? Because the Bible says that your love powers or fuels your faith. Now, you can walk out of love if you want to, but by faith. You can't afford to hold grudges and be bitter and unforgiving and be that person everybody has to walk on eggshells around. Now, you can be, but don't expect much victory in your life. Because your love fuels and powers your faith, the Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse 6. So you have to, if you want to be victorious, walk in love. The Bible says you have to walk in peace. Hard to do that in a world like this when you got people and an enemy that will influence co-workers and influence family members and influence situations. There's a lot of situations. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Do you know that whatsoever is not of faith is sin? Did you know that doubt and unbelief and worry and lack of peace is actually sin? Yeah. The wages of that is death. You can't afford that. Amen. And he said, be anxious for nothing, or don't lose your peace over anything. Well, there's a lot of people losing a lot of peace in life. And they're struggling because of it. Because God said not to do it. You have to walk in joy. If you're not in joy, you're not in faith, just so you know. If you're not in joy, you're not in faith. Well, I'm believing God. You better tell your face. You better tell your attitude. Because it's not showing up. It's the truth. You can't afford to not do these things. Like, I can't afford not to go to the grocery store. I can't afford to not get ready. I can't afford not to go to work or my job like you can. I can't afford not to get my kids ready. I can't afford not to make food. I can't afford to do these things. So I do them, but I do them with power, and it makes it a lot easier. Yeah, amen. Cut the power in your life, and things will look different. How do you know? I saw my mother-in-law once. Again, we pray all together. We come in agreement right now that she is not listening to this, nor never will. But she lives in the Allegheny National Forest down there in outside of Sheffield, Pennsylvania. And they had a power outage a few years back, and they lost power for almost a week's time, you know. And I got to see her during that time. Let me tell you something. She looked different. No hair dryer, no straightener. I didn't say bad. Now, see, there you go again. Assuming I meant bad. I didn't say that. You thought that. I just said different. Life looks different when there's no power. Well, if you got to walk in love, and you got to walk in faith and in peace and in joy, in a world where the enemy's after you and putting a target on your back and influencing coworkers and family members and friends and different things to come against you and to raise strife and hurt from you and steal from you and backbite from you, and you have to still walk in all those, you can't do that naturally. And people wonder, why is life so hard? Why is the things of life, because I'm telling you what, life's easy to me. When Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden's light, yes it is. Well, pastor, you must not ever face things. Well, we can look in the Word and see actually the ones that are out in the forefront, standing at the front of the things and leading the pack, are the ones that have the bigger target on them. You can see that in the Word. Say, that's not me elevating myself, I'm just telling you in the Bible, we see the devil puts a target on those. Just because I don't walk in here sullen and sour-faced, doesn't mean I'm not going through anything, but I've learned how to walk in victory amidst the tests and the trials. I told the church, I think it was last week, I get mixed up. I preach so many times during the week. I don't know when I say it, what I say, but I know I said it sometime. It's some of the things that I've faced personally and our family have gone through, no one will ever know, but it would turn some heads. And some of the attacks that have been launched. In fact, Pastor Michael gave an insight to it in his last year's Holy Ghost meetings. He said, the hordes of hell have come against you. He didn't know anything about my life. The prophet of God said that. And I said, you're darn right they have. A lot of people have no idea, but I don't walk in here sour-faced because I've learned. Right. And see, you face tests and trials as well, but the same tests and trials, just like the Amish do the same kind of laundry. Their clothes might be different, but same dirt, same drying. They get just as wet, you know, and need to dry. They go to the same stores. You know, I was on my way to church this morning, and I passed a lot of Amish people that were on their way to church too. Guess what? I got there quicker. I got there warmer. I got there more convenient. Again, not coming against them, but it's true. Same thing. Doing the same thing on Sunday morning. But it was different for them. Well, why is life different for a lot of Christians? It's simply because you don't have power. How would life be different if you had power? Praise God. So that's what we talked about last week. We established that. Go with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. So Jesus said, don't go anywhere without the power. Wait in Jerusalem. Well, Acts chapter 2 is the manifestation of when the power was poured out. Because he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, with the Holy Ghost comes power, because with the Holy Ghost comes God, and God is power. And so what happened in Acts chapter 2 was the manifestation of that when Jesus said, I'm commanding you, don't leave. And it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, or baptized in the Holy Ghost like Jesus said, right? He said, John baptized with water, but you need to wait until you're baptized or immersed with the Holy Ghost. So I guess there wasn't all the Holy Ghost you're ever going to get did not happen at the new birth, because they were already born again. So he says, you're going to receive power. Well, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So now in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, the power flowed, the power came. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. But notice what's after the word ghost. The word and. Holy Ghost and. Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Now, let me help some people here. They hear that word, and it brings about nervousness, feelings of this is weird, this is different, well, oh, it's one of those churches. You know, all the usual thoughts that come in. But ladies and gentlemen, we have to throw our traditions aside if they don't line up with the Bible. I'm all for traditions that are biblical. We need to throw our ideas aside if they're not biblical. We need to throw aside what so-and-so, who we trusted and looked up to, told us, if it's not biblical. Why? Because it don't matter about traditions. It don't matter about opinions. It don't matter about theories. It don't matter what grandma or grandpa said concerning spiritual things. If they were not biblical, you do not want them. Amen. Amen. It's true. We want the Word, and that's all we want. So he said they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, but something went with that filling and began to speak in tongues. Now God's trying to emphasize something to people that have never been filled, to people that were once filled, and to people that are filled now. He's trying to emphasize something to you, and that's what we're going to push through on this service, is that emphasis. The power that he's talking about is an initial infilling of the Holy Ghost. That happens when you ask God, but then to stay filled, something needs to be done. And tongues is the key. Now, I'm going to explain it biblically. Don't run and think, oh, I knew this was one of those Pentecostal places. I knew he was one of those charismatic, crazy guys. Well, let's find out what the Bible says. Because tongues in the filling of the Holy Ghost, there's two ways to stay filled with the Holy Ghost on the earth. To fill up. And you can't have one without the other. The Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. You feed on God's Word, it fills you. And you pray in the Spirit, and it fills you. You need them both. Why? Because he said, you're going to be filled with power. It happened, but what went with the power, what went with the filling, was tongues. And you can't separate the infilling or staying full without the idea of tongues. And I'm going to prove that to you. Go with me real quick to Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. Tongues is the key in the infilling, because what people will say is, Pastor, I'm cool with being filled with the Holy Ghost, but I'm not cool with the tongue stuff. What you don't realize you're saying is, Pastor, I want the power. Or what you're really saying, you don't realize you're saying is, I don't want the power working in my life. Because you can't have the power apart from tongues. You can't. I'm going to prove it in the Bible. They were filled and. They go together. But Acts 10 and verse 44, look what it says. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. What happened? These people, this audience was also filled with the Holy Ghost. And they of the circumcision, which are the Jewish people that got born again, as many as came with Peter were astonished, because that on the Gentiles. What are these words? Gentiles. A Gentile, you all, unless you were Jewish, you know, have, you know, Judaism in your background. I don't. I don't have any Jewish heritage in my background. I was a Gentile. What's a Gentile? A non-saved, non-Jewish person. Well, now he says, I'm shocked. Peter was a Jew. He received God, received the Holy Ghost. And now they're astonished, because the same thing that happened to the Jews. See, he thought they were better than the Gentiles and in a more favorable position. But Jesus came to save the whole world. Amen. Then no doubt the Jews are God's people, but Jesus came to save everybody. And now we're God's children if we're Christians. Praise God. And so Peter's shocked, because, wow, God did the same thing for these non-Jewish people. Because that on the Gentiles was also, or the same way it was with us, poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the people that will say, Pastor, I'll sign up for the Holy Ghost and the power, but I don't want to sign up for the tongues business. You can't sign up for the Holy Ghost and the power apart from the tongues business. How do I know? Because Peter just declares that I witnessing and testifying that the Gentiles also got the Holy Ghost. Well, let me ask you a question. It's not a trick one either. Have you ever seen the Holy Ghost?
No.
I've not. Well, I should take that back. Abby threw a white sheet over her head one day and went running through the house saying she was the Holy Ghost. She was testifying, so I have seen the Holy Ghost. He's about this high. He's real fast, real loud too, and he's all white, you know. But you've never seen the Holy Ghost. You've never seen the Holy Ghost. But Peter testified that the Holy Ghost fell on them. How in the heck, Peter, do you know that the Holy Ghost fell on these people too? Is it you got little Caspers flying around and dive bombing on people? No. He tells us in the next verse how he knows. It says in verse 40, let's stay in the same verse, 45, they were circumcision and were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46, the first word says for or because. How do we know the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out? Because they heard them speak with tongues. The only way that Peter knew that they got it too was because they spoke with tongues the same way it happened with him. So you can't say, I'll take the Holy Ghost, I'll take the power, but please, Pastor, let's not go down the road of speaking in other tongues. You can't leave it out. They're attached. Look how important it is. Look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. Acts chapter 19. In verse 1. Now, for those of you that are sitting there, if you are feeling this way and thinking this, let me correct you. Well, this isn't a message for me. I already know and agree with this. Yeah. But if you're not availing yourself to this on a consistent basis, you need it. You need today. I'm just telling you, you need it. You need your mind renewed. You need a fire lit under you. Because God's trying to emphasize something, and that's why I said we're trying to push that emphasis to the forefront this morning. Look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. So he goes to Ephesus and he finds certain disciples, Christians. Now we later read in the rest of this chapter that Paul discovers they were not born again. He assumed they were, but they were only under John's baptism, but they needed to receive Jesus. So before they could get the Holy Ghost, because that's the order, you get saved, then you get the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he was under the impression when he first met them that they're Christians. That's why the Bible says Paul finding certain disciples. And we can see in the way Paul worded his next statement that he believed that they were Christians. Because look what verse 2 said. He said unto them, now here he comes and sees Christians for the very first time. And the first thing Paul says to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since? What's that mean, after? You believed. What's he saying? I perceive you're born again and Christians, you're going to heaven, and that's well and good, but did you get the power yet? Notice Paul's motives or intentions and his feelings was that I found fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord who are born again and praise God for it, but now they need power. So the first thing I'm going to ask them is, did you get the Holy Ghost too? Did you get the Holy Ghost too? Because why? You don't get all the Holy Ghost you're ever going to get when you get saved. There's another step. And Paul says, have you received the Holy Ghost that you believe? And look what they said. Most churches, this should be on the billboard of most churches about the Holy Ghost. They said to them, we have not so much as heard whether there even is a Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, what are you talking about? Well, I'm telling you, and I'm not coming down or against it, but the place I grew up in, the place she grew up in, and the place a lot of you grew up in, they don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. They don't talk about the Holy Ghost. It's something that is swept under the rug or put on the back burner or put in the closet in the dark spaces because people don't have understanding, don't have clarification on it. They've been rubbed the wrong way in a crazy, ooky, spooky, weird church. You know, a granola church? Church of the granola, the first granola? You know their motto under the church of the first granola is where the fruity and the flaky and the nutty reside. And they come and there's tongues all the time. People walk in and people are speaking in tongues and swinging from the chandeliers and doing cartwheels. They walk in, the pastor comes up and just starts praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. And people sit there and think, what is going on? And so people leave it out. They don't talk about it. And they're like, Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost? I've seen this many times. It's true. The Father, oh, we praise you, Lord. We love you, Father. Lord Jesus, the Father, the Son, we love you, Lord. But the Holy, don't bring Him up. He's the part of God that's only left on the earth. And people want to push Him out of their churches. People don't want to talk about the only part of the Trinity that's still on planet earth. God's up there, Jesus is up there, and the Holy Ghost is down here. How sad. I don't want none of that Holy Ghost business. I was in a church. I'm talking huge church. Probably 1,000 to 2,000 people. And I'm sitting in the middle, in the way back. And I'm there with Pastor Tim. And I'm there with Reverend Randy. It's before we're pastors. And it's a Dr. Dufresne meeting. And it's my first one I traveled to. And Pastor Michael's there, but he's seated in the more towards the front. And Dr. Dufresne operated the office of the prophet off by the Holy Ghost, and he's walking through the aisles. And he comes up to Pastor Tim and I. He never met us, never seen us, never talked to us, never introduced or nothing. Comes up to Pastor Tim and I and takes his hand and smacks us on the back of the head, and he says, now you preach the word. He knew. By the Holy Ghost. And I saw signs, wonders, and miracles happen. And that place stopped having Dr. Dufresne in at the end of their life because they didn't want any of that Holy Ghost business in their church. Oh, you don't want God? You don't want God? And that's the way a lot of places are. I didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is what I want you to see. And this is what I'm trying to push through. This is not some agenda that some little 5 foot whatever I am guy, I don't want to give it away, truly. Although Jim's not here, this would be the time to probably tell the truth. That some little guy up here shouting and jumping around trying to push through some agenda of fitting the mold of, if they want to call us charismatic, people say, what are you? I say, we're Bible. Amen. People are like, what kind of church are you? We believe the Bible. Amen. We believe God's good and we believe whatever He says in the Word. Amen. I don't call us charismatic. I don't call us Pentecostal. But am I charismatic for God? Darn right. Do I believe in Pentecost? Yep. Amen. So I guess I'm a Caracostal. Because I believe both of them. I'm a Caracostal. I'm not going to tell people that, and you shouldn't either. But that's what we are. We're Caracostals. We believe in being charismatic for God, and we believe in Pentecost. Amen. Hallelujah. But this is what I want you to see. This isn't me trying to push through an agenda. This is us, me trying to get us to look like the Bible. Because if we look like the Bible, we'll look like power. Amen. See, the thing is about this, because people have come from different places where they never heard. I mean, there's people that have come up to me in this church that said, for decades, I've never heard this stuff. That means for the majority of their life, they were either taught against it or never told about it. So when you do hear about it, it seems foreign. Yeah. And because they haven't heard about it their whole life, it seems like it's just a tiny part of this doctrine. It's just for those charismatics and those crazy Pentecostals and those people that just want to be radical for God. You know all the things they say about us. It's just for them. But here's what I want to point out today. This is not an obscure passage in the Bible. This is not a minor doctrine in the Bible. This is not just a thing, well, I can take it or leave it. No. We're talking about whether or not you live in power or you don't. And we've established when you live life without power, it's different. Go with me back to Acts chapter 1. Excuse me, in verse 1. I want to show you the emphasis that Jesus put on it. In Acts chapter 10, the Bible said the only way Peter knew that the Holy Ghost fell on them was because tongues was there. Paul said, have you received it since you believed? Hallelujah. There's a subsequent experience. And by the way, in Acts chapter 19, I didn't get down further that part. after he finds out, oh, they're not really disciples, he then gets them born again. And the Bible says in verse 6, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues. Why? Because you can't get the Holy Ghost without tongues. They go together. Well, I got the Holy Ghost but didn't speak in tongues. You didn't get the Holy Ghost because they're attached. Amen. You get a measure of the Holy Ghost, you got born again, the Holy Ghost came to dwell on the inside of you, but you didn't get baptized or immersed in the Holy Ghost till you got filled and spoke with tongues. But look at the obscure doctrine of this Bible. Now, what is the Acts? The Acts of the Apostles. This is when Jesus is going off the scene and the church is about to start. What are we talking about? A very tender and precious and vital, important time in the body of Christ. Jesus is about to exit stage left. And he still hasn't come back. Still gone. So he's getting ready to leave after he's just been here for 33 and a half years, 3.5 of which they spent with him and saw signs, wonders, and miracles, saw people's lives change, and he's about to leave. And so he's got just a few moments with these people. And what is the one thing that he says you can't live without? There's only one thing that Jesus commands these people. He's got his last shot with them, and there's only one thing he tells them, you can't live without, you can't live without, you can't live without. Yet, in most churches, it's not even in the building, or it's swept under the rug, or it's in the back room. He said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, the former treaties I have made, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive. This is after he died. By his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he's talking about the kingdom of God. And the Bible, and the Spirit of God, only saw it fit to show us one thing that Jesus commanded them to not live without. Things didn't end up in here on accident. The Holy Ghost authored this thing. And what's in here is because it's what we need in life. So verse 4, the Bible says, Jesus being assembled together with them, okay, it's time for me to make my mark, commands them, don't leave without the Holy Ghost. Well, if he told them that, and then the first thing that Peter or Paul said when he found disciples is, did you get it? Because he knew Jesus emphasized it to us. Of course, he didn't. In the beginning, Paul was not here, he was still Saul of Tarsus, but after he got born, he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he spoke in tongues as well. And Jesus said that to them, and then Peter or Paul said that to the disciples, what do you think is the format for us? Born again, don't leave. Yes, you're saved. That's for up there. The power's for down here. How many Christians, not just in here under the sound of my voice, and again, if you've never heard this, never been taught this, this isn't me making fun of you or belittling you or coming down on you. It's just a pointing out that you need to do something with this. But how many of you here have received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you haven't, there's an experience waiting for you. Amen. A subsequent experience that what? Carries power with it. It wasn't just an obscure passage. It was something that Jesus commanded. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Now remember, we've already established that tongues comes with the package of the Holy Ghost and power. Can't leave it out. It's a package deal. And see, I thought when I did my notes for this that I would get to the benefits of the Holy Ghost today, of praying in tongues, but we won't get there. We'll see if the Lord has to do it for Christmas, for our Christmas service. And if he does have it, do it for our Christmas service. The Bible says it's a gift. So what do they do at Christmas? We give gifts. But we'll see what the Holy Ghost wants next week. Don't let that stop you from inviting people. God knows what your friends and family need. I'm not trying to push an agenda. If the Lord says it's not for next week, we'll skip a week and preach more a Christmas service. But you need to trust your pastor that he knows how to hear from the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. Because I'm not here just, well, we're just going to do that because that would be different and that would be fun to preach the Holy Ghost about tongues on Christmas service. No. If that's not going to help the harvest that day, the Holy Ghost knows, so I'll be sensitive. And if we have to skip it a week, we'll skip it a week. Amen. Praise God. So you invite people for Christmas. It's the one time we can get them in here. And God will work on them. Isn't it interesting when the Holy Ghost was poured out in Acts chapter 2? It didn't leave the people running away. It led to people, 3,000 of them, getting saved. Yeah. See, the Holy Ghost is the Lord of the harvest. He knows what What, he's more interested in the harvest than you are. Oh, if I invite him, what if Pastor Mike does this? What if Pastor Mike does that? Well, why are you here if you don't believe Pastor Mike hears from heaven? I'm serious. You shouldn't be here if you don't think I hear from God. Go find a place where they're hearing from God. Amen. I'm interested in people getting born again. God's interested in people being born again. So let's just all do our part. I'll do my part. God'll do his part. You do your part. You do your part. Get them in the door. I'll do my part. God'll do his part. And they'll be changed. Amen. Praise God. So Acts chapter 2, we know tongues comes with it in verse 39. Well, actually, go to verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. This is the sermon he's preaching to the people that were making fun of him for praying in tongues because they heard this strange language. They all gathered around and Peter said, we're not drunk like you're saying we are, but this is what we are. And he goes on and preaches it. And he says, now, every one of you, you need to get saved. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's being born again. And receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, we already know that the gift of the Holy Ghost also is included with tongues. Because people will say, Pastor, I'll take the Holy Ghost. I'll take the power. But let me. The tongues thing is not for me. Well, that's contrary to what he says here, verse 39. For the promise. What promise? The promise of the Holy Ghost, which is attached with tongues. Can't, it's a package deal. He says, for the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, when he's telling them this in Jerusalem, guess what's all that are afar off? South Dayton is all that are afar off. Dunkirk and Forestville and Cherry Creek and Gowanda and Cattaraugus and Leon, all these places are afar off. And it's for all of us, he says. Amen. Praise God. Go to Mark 16. Oh, that tongues business, that's just for those Caracostals. Just for them. No. It was something that Jesus set out at the outset of people that are freshly born again. You can't live life without this. Why? Because life's different without power. Mark 16 and verse 15. This is not some obscure passage. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17. Now forgive me for my sarcasm, but here we go. And these signs shall follow them crazy Pentecostals. No. These signs shall follow a certain sect of the body of Christ. No. These signs will follow the ones who believe. It's for believers. Well, what are the signs that follow believers? In my name, they'll cast out devils. I thought that was just the preachers. Nope, that's just the believers. They, now this is Jesus saying this, not Pastor Mike. They shall speak with new tongues. Because why? When he says speaking with new tongues, what's he saying? They shall walk out with power. They shall live a supernatural, dynamic, miracle-working power in their life. Jesus said these signs will follow all that will believe. Not just the crazy certain sector, the non-denominational churches, you know, that just believe that. And, you know, the denominations, we don't talk about that or believe that. No. Jesus said my believers will speak with new tongues. New tongues. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Has anybody ever been blessed enough to eat at Chick-fil-A? I mean, I just say that those words, and things happen on the inside of me. Things are happening right now. I believe, you don't have to agree with this, that there's no better chicken sandwich on the face of planet Earth and Chick-fil-A, and apparently a lot of people believe that as well because that company is profitable. I saw one recently that the line was absolutely ridiculous in the middle of the day going all the way back. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, Chick-fil-A is known for their chicken. Remember, they have the cow for their mascot. Because the cow says what? Eat more chicken. That's what the cows want, you know. And so if Chick-fil-A has a billboard, and they say, Chick-fil-A on such and such address, they're not going to put on the billboard, their fries. It's not what they're known for. It's not called fry filet. Their pickles are good, but it's not called pickle-a-lay. And they have a sign of their pickles, or they have tater tots on their billboard. No, you know what they're going to put on their billboard? A big, fat, juicy chicken sandwich. Because why? They want people to see it and to go and partake of it. Well, I call 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18 the billboard for speaking in tongues. What's a billboard do? A billboard entices you or draws you into what it's saying so you'll partake of it. Now, we're shifting into rescue mode for some people now, okay? Just want to let you know, we shifted gears into rescue mode now. Pastor, you've been talking all day about this. How's this going to rescue me? Well, I'm trying to get you rescued. Paul said this. Now, who is Paul? On planet Earth, from now and forever, there will never be a human being, man or woman, boy or girl, that will ever be on the level that Paul was. Say, what do you mean? More loved? No. Nobody will ever write scripture anymore. The Bible is sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered. He was used to write the most out of any author in the Bible. Paul was used. No man, woman, child, boy, or girl will ever be used by God. The things he did, the influence, the roads he paved, the revelation we're still feeding off today and being blessed by and learning, no one will be used. The greatest Christian ever used and influenced on this earth was the Apostle Paul. The one that was in prison writing, "Rejoice in the Lord." Again, I say rejoice. The one that was in prison in Acts chapter 16, beaten and naked and fast in stocks, the Bible says, praising and singing praises to God, walking out victory in the midst of hell on earth. That man put up a billboard for tongues, and this is what he said. I, the Apostle Paul, see, there's a lot in that word I there, and I just explained a lot of the I. I, the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian to ever live and ever will live as far as how much they're going to be used by God and the influence that they would have in believers' lives who did things for God, who stood before kings, who declared the message that started churches and spread this thing all over the world. He said, I thank my God that I pray or speak in tongues more than all of you. So if you see it, Chick-fil-A billboard with a chicken sandwich, you look at that and you think, and the goal is, it's like a commercial, right? Ooh, that looks good. I want that. I'm going to go there. Well, now, you saw the greatest Christian ever put up a billboard. And on that he says, one of the things that you need to know about me and how I can walk like I walk and talk like I talk and do what I do is I always pray in tongues. That doesn't sound like tongues is of the devil. And that doesn't sound like tongues is just some crazy obscure thing. No, that sounds like Paul saying, hey world, I want you to know, here's my billboard. Come over to tongues. Partake of tongues. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Now, I'm going to close with this. We'll be out of here a lot quicker than we were last week. We know what Jesus said. Power. They'll speak with new tongues. They tried to get people filled immediately when they came upon new believers. We know what Paul said about it now. Thank my God. Let me read you. I've done this list before, but we always have newer people, and it's just so good to stir you up. John G. Lake. Say, who the heck's that? He was a minister years and years and years ago. 1900s, early 1900s. Listen to this mighty man of God's statistics. What are statistics? Batting average, runs batted in, touchdowns thrown, touchdowns caught. You know, they're stats. Listen to John G. Lake's stats. You tell me if he was used by God. 100,000 confirmed medical healings. You know what a confirmed medical healing is? It's like the one that I was telling you about that someone read for me from a doctor, where a doctor testifies things have changed. Things are different. He had 100,000 of them in 5 years. That's 20,000 healings a year. He set up a healing school and things in a healing area over there in Seattle, Washington. And at the time he was ministering, the United States government officially recognized and declared that Seattle, Washington was the healthiest city in all of America. Well, it would be. He was the man who was so full of power of God and demonstration, went over for the bubonic plague, and they were looking at the bubonic plague under a microscope, and the doctors and scientists testified, that is a live sample of it. He said, put it in my hand. You don't want to come in contact with this, John. Put it in my hand. They put it in his hand, put it back under the microscope, and it all had been cursed and died and was gone. Well, it was gone. It didn't affect him. It died in his hand. It's confirmed. He had, this is awesome, 1 million converts under his ministry. There are some Christians that won't take one person with them that will never tell them about Jesus, get people born again. He took 1 million of them to heaven. 1 million. He started 625 churches. I have two. I don't mean I have started 625. I have two. I'll get them. No, I won't. No, I won't. 625 he started. He raised up 1,250 preachers under his ministry that were able to go out and start churches and do things. Would you all agree he was used by God mightily? Absolutely. You know what John G. Lake said? He said, the making of my ministry. What ministry, John? Oh, you know, the ministry that had 100,000 confirmed healings in 5 years. The ministry that raised up 1,250 preachers. That started 625 churches. That had 1 million converts. That ministry? He said, the making of my ministry has been speaking in tongues. Paul told us he did one thing more than everybody else. And the only thing he said was that he did prayed in tongues more than anybody else. Smith Wigglesworth, apostle of faith over in England, early 1900s, apostle of God, had many signs, wonders, and miracles. Let me tell you some signs, wonders, and miracles. These are confirmed. You can get the books. You can get the testimonies of people that testify to seeing them. He raised several people from the dead. I'm still at zero. He raised several. In fact, one testimony, picture this in your head. He went into a service knowing that he's raising someone from the dead in the funeral home, picked the body up out of the casket and threw it against the wall. It hit the wall and flopped on the floor, and he said, in the name of Jesus, rise. It did nothing. Nothing happened. Can you imagine the chaos and the horror? Because he's on a different level than everyone else. He knows he's locked in. And the other people, we're not locked in. We're just there to be there, to do what you do. It didn't work. He picked the body up again. Chucked it against the wall. It hit the wall, flopped on the ground, kerplunk. In the name of Jesus, rise. And I believe it happened 2 or 3 times and nothing happened. And he was not deterred. He knew. He did it again. In the name of Jesus, rise. And everything that was wrong in that body, gifts of healings and working of miracles happened in that body, and that person was fully restored, and it happened several times. Now, I don't know if he was body chucking in all of them, but he did in one of them. That's a man full of power and faith. He couldn't read or write. He didn't have a natural education. But when he picked up the Bible, he could read the whole thing. He never was taught how to read, but the Spirit of God, he just could read the Bible. And you know what he said about himself? They were interviewing him, and he said, you know, I'm one of the biggest conundrums there are. I'm barely educated. I can't read or write. Because they were talking about all his testimonies, all the things that he's done in his life, all the miracles, signs, and wonders, and that's why he was kind of chuckling. He's like, I'm one of the biggest conundrums there are. I get it. I can't read or write. I'm uneducated, yet God uses me this way. He said, the secret of my success has been praying in tongues. Jesus, Paul, John G. Lake, and Smith Wigglesworth. Listen to what Brother Hagin said. Who's that? Oh, only the guy that's responsible for us even having a church. God told, testified this about Brother Hagin, that John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus' first coming, and that Brother Hagin would be the forerunner to Jesus' second coming. And he was the foremost prophet in the land, and churches all over the world, and thousands upon thousands of preachers and ministers had sprung up under the word of faith, under that man's ministry on the earth. Brother Hagin's in the books and everything that went out because of him. And a lot of the mighty ministers that you see now trace their roots back to Brother Hagin. He was a man of faith, a word in the Spirit. And listen to what he said. He said, as I said earlier, the greatest things, you want great things in your life? Here's your secret. It's called rescuing, by the way. The greatest things that have ever happened to me in my walk with God, the greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial breakthroughs, the greatest deliverances, came after I spent a prolonged length of time praying in tongues. Another mighty man of God. Lester Summerall. Dr. Summerall, who was under Smith Wigglesworth. Smith was his spiritual dad and his mentor. He was responsible. He's an apostle of God, many signs, wonders, and miracles. But he was responsible. He had started a church in the Philippines. The Lord told him to build this big building and see, I believe, thousands of people. I'll try to get the exact stats on that. But it was big and they didn't have anyone coming. Well, he heard that there was this girl that was possessed by the devil in the prison, and her testimony was getting out. I mean, you go in there and she'll cuss you down and hurt you and bite you and do things, and just nobody wanted to deal with her, and he heard about her. And they had a testimony on the radio of him ministering to her, and he went there, and she tried to pull her demonic things with him, and he was the only one that would stand up to her, and he cast the devil out of that young girl, and she became completely normal, and it spread through the Philippines and got everybody on fire, and it packed out that church. One sign, wonder, and miracle, but it came through a man that was full of power. But what did he say? He said, Dr. Summerall, tell us about tongues. When do you pray in tongues? How often do you pray in tongues? And Dr. Summerall said, when I'm not preaching. What's he saying? When I'm walking my dog, I'm praying in tongues. When I'm ironing my clothes, I'm praying in tongues. When I'm showered, I'm praying in tongues. Why? Because when you see the benefits of praying in tongues, you'll see it's hooking into the power of God. Tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. You need supernatural in your life? Start praying in tongues. That's what he said. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, who I label, and I'm almost done here, I label as the baddest in the land. I should have seen her face when I first said, I don't think she knew. Pastor, Michael Jackson said, I'm bad, you know it. He wasn't saying he was bad, he was really saying he was real good. And that's what I'm saying, you're the baddest in the land, Pastor Nancy, and she is. The way God's using her, I don't know of anybody on planet Earth that has a revelation of the Word and can teach the Word like that woman. I'm just telling you how God's using her. In the ministry for over 20 years with her husband, Dr. Dufresne, started churches, went out crusades, doing things, signs, wonders, miracles, all the whole bit, you know. But see, people don't realize where she came from. Prior to meeting Dr. Dufresne, she was engaged to be married. Had her whole life planned, set before, you know, like people would. And the engagement fell through last minute. And so now her world shattered, heartbroken. What am I going to do with my life? It's in shambles. It's in ruins. I had my whole life planned with this guy and everything, and now what am I going to do? Well, you know what she did for the next 3 weeks? Every day for 3 hours a day, she laid on the bed and prayed in tongues. And shortly after that period, Dr. Dufresne comes along. She gets connected with him, marries him very quickly, goes on, and is now the baddest in the land. And you know what she attributes that turnaround to? Because she attributes meeting doctor, him becoming her Bible school, him training her, her learning everything, and where she is now, she attributes to her husband. And of course, she got to be under Brother Hagin under that and meet Dr. Summerall and those people. But it all started because she took time to pray in tongues. And one of the benefits of praying in tongues is laying the tracks for your life. Laying it out for you to go. Now, I talked about Jesus, and I talked about Paul, and I talked about John G. Lake, and I talked about Smith Wigglesworth, and I talked about Brother Hagin, and I talked about Dr. Summerall, I talked about Pastor Nancy Dufresne, but I know you all are thinking the same thing. You're thinking, Pastor, we don't care about them. Brother Hagin, Dr. Summerall, Pastor, all we care about is what you think. Of course, if you don't know my humor, you think I'm a real prideful person up here. I'm actually picking on myself. But as your pastor, I will say this, and I testify to it all the time. There were two great events in my life that changed everything for me. The first was getting born again. The second event was the greatest event in my life, was getting filled with the Holy Ghost to be able to speak in other tongues. So I know, you don't, Smith Wigglesworth, who cares? Jesus, what's Pastor Mike think? Well, now you know. I'm with them. I go out testimony after testimony. For those of you that need rescuing, you just need more power. You need a supernatural touch in your life. You need an experience with God. Get on your face and start shalabobbing. That's tongues. That's what I always use for what tongue sounds like. It's a joke. I don't know if your tongue sounds like shalababa. That's my joke for tongues. But you need to start praying in tongues. And what Pastor Nancy said, she said, it felt so dry, felt so dead for those 3 weeks, those hours a day. It felt like nothing was happening. But see, the Word was happening. Power was happening. Tracks were being laid. Mysteries were being prayed out. Power was being made available. Amen. Amen. You want the supernatural in your life? Start praying in tongues. That's giving heed to the supernatural. You don't want to live a natural, tough, hard life where everything's hard. How do I walk in love? How do I walk in peace? How do I walk in faith? Why is the finances not working? Why is it always hard? Start praying in tongues. So if you're not filled, you need to get filled. If you are filled, you need to be praying in tongues. Because it doesn't matter if you're filled in 1972. You know what? I charged my phone last week, but guess what? Had to charge it again last night. Because you don't stay filled. You got to keep refilling and refilling and refilling. It's the missing ingredient. The secret to their success is what they said. Paul said, this is what I do. Jesus said, the only thing I'm commanding you is this. John G. Lake said, that's my secret. Smith Wigglesworth, it's my secret. Brother Hagin said, the greatest things came from this. I don't know what more it would take to shake people to want to get the Holy Ghost, but then not only get the Holy Ghost, but become a tongue-talking fool. If this doesn't shake you, we need to check your pulse. Make sure there's life. Anyone in there? I just gave you the key. I just threw your life preserver to rescue out of the hell you're going through. Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, Jesus, we're so thankful and so grateful for all that you've done. For all that you've provided for us. You gave us a life preserver. You gave us help today. You gave us the answers. We want more of God? Well, that's how we'll get more of you. We'll just plug in. Plug in and pray. Plug in and pray. Plug in and pray. And Lord, we've seen in the Word today, it ain't some minor thing. It ain't some charismatic doctrine or, some Pentecostal doctrine. No, it's the Bible. And you were emphatic about it, Jesus. You commanded, do not leave without this. Do not leave without this. So why are we leaving without it? With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to take care of the first order of business, which is receiving Jesus if you've never received Him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. There's a way to heaven, and it's not through church attendance. It's not through being a good person. It's not even through just acknowledging that Jesus is real. The devil acknowledges that Jesus is real, but he will not end up in heaven. Because the Bible says you must believe and receive Him. So if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I do believe in Jesus in the sense that I believe He was real. I believe He lived. And I do believe in a heaven and a hell. And I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Well, God made it easy. He provided a simple gift through Jesus that doesn't cost you anything. And heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. This is between you and God. Nobody's looking around. But if you want to receive Jesus this morning and make a commitment that, you know what, I do believe in Him, but I've never received Him. You have to receive Him. He says, I'll knock. I stand at the door and knock. But He doesn't come in unless you open the door. The way you open the door is by receiving Him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in this service this morning, you can say, I've never officially received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody that wants to make Him their Lord and Savior right now? Anybody in here at all that's never done that? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, so I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice in here is born again. But if by chance somebody listening online right now or in the future on the archives has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray they would not pass from this life till they've accepted Jesus. And if you're one of those people that need Him and you're listening, I'll tell you how to do it. It's simple. You just cry out to Him. All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe You died and rose again. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Confess Him and believe. The Bible says you'll be saved. And if you do that, let me know you do it. Shoot me an email. Give me a phone call. We'll get you hooked up in a Bible teaching church. All that good stuff. Now, heads bowed and eyes closed still. If you're here and you're a believer, but you have not received the Holy Ghost yet, Last week, Hope, I think she's in nursery today or serving. She hadn't received the Holy Ghost. She came up and got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues immediately. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, there's no pressure. We're all in this together on the same team here. I'm going to invite you to come forward now. I'm going to ask God to fill you. He will. I'll lay hands on you and I'll tell you, open your mouth and speak with tongues, and you will. Hallelujah. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here this morning that wants to come forward to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Anybody at all? The reason I offer that, you can come forward if you want to receive that. Praise God. Emily, I'm so proud of you for your boldness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This is the same way your mom and dad got it. Just like this. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else that would like to come forward? Appreciate her boldness. Anybody else? I'm going to ask the rest of us that are already filled in praying in tongues, it would be okay to do this because we taught on it. Just go ahead and pray in tongues at your seat. Amen? Because this ain't an all eyes up here type thing. This is let's be in belief and in agreement. Is there anybody else that wants to? We'll come up here as well. That's never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Anybody? Life's about to change for you. Praise God. This is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. All you have to do is repeat after me and mean it. It's just basically going to be declaring that you believe in God and believe in that power. I'm going to ask Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And then I'm going to tell you to open your mouth and speak in tongues. And your mind might say, well, what the heck, how am I going to do that? It doesn't come from your mind. It comes from your heart. So all of a sudden, you're going to have utterances in there. They're not going to be English, Spanish, or German. It's unknown. Just start speaking forth those utterances. It'll start with little syllables. But the Bible says it's unknown, so it's never been heard. And your mind's not supposed to understand it. So don't let that trip you up. When you hear yourself say it, you're like, man, I sound crazy. But the Bible says the mind is unfruitful. So let's close our eyes. And I'll take your hands. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for Emily. I thank you for her life, Father. She's so precious to you, so special. Father, you have such a good plan for her and Jerry. And Father, what boldness she has to come forward. I thank you this is a new day for her. And this is a breakthrough day for her. So Emily, go ahead and repeat this after we say, Lord Jesus. I believe in the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I thank you that Pastor Mike is going to lay hands on me, and I will be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I will open my mouth and speak with new tongues in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, fill her with the Holy Ghost. Now open your mouth and speak in tongues. Yeah, it's right there. It's right there. Yeah, speak that out, Emily. That's where it is. She got it. Mom and Dad, she got it. Oh, so proud of you. Now stop and look at me. You did it. You did it. Oh, you did it. Praise God. Now, here's the thing I want you to know. You can stop. You don't need me to lay hands on you. Let's just close our eyes and start praying in tongues again. And I'll explain this when you sit down and show you some verses and show everyone else. It's a spiritual language between you and your Father. So let's just close our eyes and pray in tongues. Oh, radaste te to bota, nata selo mohota salate sedendo do, lo da nasende la tasa te to losta. It's that easy. If anyone else wants to come forward, it's that easy. Late se to losta toda, natra me se que tosco toto. Emily, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. You did so awesome. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Yes. Real quick, I want to point something out, not only for her benefit, but for all of us, because there might be people out there. Now, let me help you here today. If you didn't come forward to receive that, you don't have to come forward to receive it. I got mine in my apartment in Water Street in Fredonia. She got hers in her dorm room at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. You know, nobody laying hands. You can just ask the Lord to fill you, and He will, and open your mouth and speak in tongues. You can ask me to meet in the office, you know, and we'll explain you and walk you through some of those things. But it's that simple. God wants it for her. You were here at the right place at the right time. You know, she's Richard Lynn's daughter, and she lives out of town with her husband in Rochester, and she came the right day. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want to explain some things real quick to people and also to her to not forget, because if Jesus was so emphatic about it, and Paul was so emphatic about it, and all these ministers, including your world-famous pastor, is emphatic about it, then there must be something to it that the enemy is going to try to stop. And that's why it's become such a topic you don't taboo topic you don't talk about, because the devil influences and influences because he doesn't want Christians filled with power. Amen. So real quick, Kim Lai, if you pull up 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 4, this will help people, because people think, well, it's just a blubbering, babbling language. It's supposed to be. But look at what it says here. It says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue. What does that mean? It's unknown. It's never been heard before. Well, when you're a little kid and you hear something other than English for the first time, it's different and weird to your mind. When you're an adult and you hear a language that you can't recognize, it's different and weird. But the Bible says that it's unknown. But go with me to verse 2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue doesn't speak to men, but unto God. No man understands him. What's that saying? I have no idea what Emily just said in tongues. She has no idea what I said. I have no idea what you said in tongues. Why? It's unknown. No man, mankind, cannot understand it. Amen? Amen. Now real quick, go to verse 14. Hallelujah. Look what it says, because what is tongues? What actually is tongues? Here's the definition of what it is. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. God is not natural. He's a spirit. You are not natural. You have a natural body, but the real you is a spirit. The one that's going to live forever is a spirit. So when you pray in tongues, you're giving the real you, the real person of you, it's not the natural man that's going to stay in the body or stay in the ground and or you know, however your burial is, that's the natural, but the spiritual goes on to live forever. It says when you pray in tongues or speak in tongues, the spirit prays to who? Well, it already told us that you speak unto God. It's a way to give your spirit the opportunity, and there's so many benefits that we're going to teach whenever the Holy Ghost says that will get you motivated to do it more. The power should be enough. But look at what he says in the rest of the verse, and this is what I want to help people with, especially someone that's newly filled or listening online. He says, if I pray in unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, what's your understanding? Your mind is unfruitful. What's that mean? Your mind doesn't know what's going on. And I don't know about you, but when my mind doesn't know what's going on or doesn't understand, it kicks and screams. I don't like to be in the not the know. I like to be in the know, not in the unknown. And the Bible says, out of the belly will flow rivers of living water. This Jesus spake of the Holy Ghost. It comes out of your belly and comes out of your mouth. It was never meant to make it up here. So when your mind, Emily, if this happens, or anybody that was just newly filled or is struggling with praying in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit and you hear those words, the thoughts that you're going to get from the enemy are, you're making that up. That's a foolish, babbling language that is gibberish. Well, that's what the word says, is that it's unknown, we've never heard it, we don't understand it, and that our mind is unfruitful, we can only understand it by the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So the word becomes your safety net when the devil launches attacks at you, because you get out there by yourself praying in tongues in your car, and the thoughts come, the devil's thoughts can be very real and very strong and convince you, you made that up, that's just you jibber-jabbering, and you start to believe that. But then when you have the Word, you can fall into the Word that says, I'm not supposed to understand this. It is unknown. Hallelujah. And before you leave, I mean, I have some materials I want to get to you. And anybody else that would want to talk about this in private or go into the office and receive the Holy Ghost, or I've done it over the phone. I've got people filled over the phone. And so it doesn't matter, however you want to receive it, you know. Plenty of people in this church that didn't come forward and plenty of people in this church that did come forward to get it. God just wants you to get it. But what boldness in her to come forward. Praise God. Let's praise Him before we go, and then we'll close this thing down. Father, thank You for all that You've done. Signs and wonders and miracles. We thank You, Lord. Oh, we're going to walk out in power. No longer are we going to be powerless. We're going out powerhouses. We give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Don't forget, Donut Sunday is underway. You are released to the donuts.